Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky in for Rex Road for the next 3 days. Nick Keyser here with us as well this morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Herndon will be with us at 7:30. We'll get into all manner of different topics with the Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that coming up a little bit later this hour. Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. They've had the bye week. They're back at it this week, and now it's full go from here to the end of the season. No more breaks upcoming for the Titans. And a lot of things at top of mind for Titans fans right now. I think one of those is how does Brian Callahan adjust? You've had the four games here where you finally pick up your first win on the road in Miami against just a hapless offense led by the Dolphins with Tyler Huntley. So you've walked into the bye week on a positive note from a results standpoint, winning the game. Now, what changes after a 1-3 start to the regular season? And I think, obviously, the quarterback position is what you look at first when it starts to when you start to really break it down with the Titans. Will Levis has got to play better than he's played to this point in the season. They have to find a way as an offense to get their drop-back passing game at a more dangerous level than what we've seen. And, yes, that's Levis. That's also the offensive line. There's a lot that has to get better in that area as the Titans move forward here. And Brian Callahan was asked about that, the drop-back passing game specifically. It's been bad. How does it get better as the Titans go along here? Here's what Brian Callahan had to say.
Why do you think your pass, the drop-back is the element that's having the most trouble?
I think you're dealing with a mix of playing some pretty solid fronts early in the season with a young line that was coming along. And so I think we've given up more pressure than we'd like to give up. That affects the passing game. You get into some spots like in the Green Bay game where now they know you're passing it. It ends up being a feast when those things happen. So it's probably just a conglomeration of a week-to-week things that were good and bad. Again, not enough probably sample size to really feel strongly one way or the other, but it's a combination of the pass protection, of decision making at quarterback, and our ability to put guys in the right spot. So it's sort of a three pronged approach. I take probably more of the blame of it than anything. Is just keep finding ways to make that better for us. But yeah, it's got to improve for sure for us to continue to try to win games.
So PK, my question for you is: you hear that answer from Brian Callahan. How fixable do you think some of the problems we've seen in the drop back passing game realistically are for the Titans as they move ahead here?
Well, I think the protection's the biggest part. And, you know, you can fix that protection a little bit with help, particularly on the right side. Not just the chip necessarily, but keeping the tight end in or putting a sixth offensive lineman out there. The concern to me is the best thing about Will Levis last year was some of these amazing throws that he made downfield.
Yep.
How many amazing throws has he made downfield this year?
Maybe one.
Not many.
Yeah.
I mean, that throw, was it to Ridley or to Hopkins that snuck through two jets down the
Ridley,
with a 40-yard touchdown? So somehow that's been neutered or taken out. I think it's a side effect of all of this. So we've talked about mastering the mundane and all of that and taking the short stuff and all of that, and he's not been terrific at that. And in exchange for that, it seems you've given up a lot of this stuff that was better under Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel in terms of emphasizing the quick release and the big arm. And so I think that's a concern, and that needs to be fixed. And I think there needs to be more determination to get the ball to Calvin Ridley. They spent a lot of money on Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's a big play guy. I don't care if you're getting it to him on some shorter crossing stuff that lets him build up ahead of steam and run away from people like A.J. Brown used to do on a lot of his long stuff. Or if, you know, so if it's a big yards after catch play, or if you're throwing it to him deep. I know his yards per catch is big, but there aren't enough catches. I think
right.
He's got 9 catches on 19 targets. That's not a good enough hit rate. You got to emphasize that. And, you know, driving the ball all the way down the field on a 15 or 17 play drive, is nice in terms of game control and all of that, but nothing demoralizes the other side like a big play. And nothing lifts your team like a big play. And yep. And we're not seeing enough of those and enough opportunity for those. It seems like this offense is somehow tamping that down.
Well, the bottom line, you have to make those plays because it's too hard in this league to repeatedly drive down the field 10, 12 play drives on a consistent basis. Like, you're going to make a mistake. There's going to be a penalty at some point that hinders that. You have to find a way to generate explosive plays. If you don't, it's just too hard to sustain offense in this league.
Yeah, I think that's
a
good point. You need too much to go right too often for an offense that hasn't proven that it's good at sustaining drives without a holding penalty that gets you in third and 17. And then they can't convert, and they're punting. So I think that drop back passing element. The other thing is the expectation was that part would be good or better. And we haven't seen the signs of it. I think also they're overly reliant on Treylon Burks. I don't understand what I do understand what Burks is doing, that he's out there. But it's primitive. I mean, that's great that he's blocking well and doing all of those things. I'm not convinced that Hopkins can't block well and do those things and be threatening at the same time. I'm not convinced that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina can't. We know he can do all those things, that he does all of those things right, and that he's a reliable pass catcher who may not take people as deep but is going to make a play when the ball comes his direction. And he's not been targeted this season. And this offense has got me in knots to the point that I'm desperate to see NWI targeted.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, you heard Callahan in that clip bring up the Green Bay game where, and it's true, they got into the second half and they were down by enough where they, you know, the Packers knew that they were going to pass, and they were able to kind of pin their ears back and rush the passer, which happens in the NFL. Now, there are also, like, there are plenty of teams that get in situations where the other team knows they're going to pass, and they hold up long enough in pass protection
when
where it's not a complete disaster.
Yeah, when you're down 10 or 13. We've seen teams come back from 10 or 13 down to tie a game.
Like, you still got to be able to block. You still got to be able to block when the other team knows that you're throwing the football. And, like, that can't be a crutch for this offensive line moving forward. They got to find a way to move past that.
Yeah, they want to play from ahead. Everybody wants to play from ahead. Sometimes you have to play from behind. Show me that you can compete from behind. If you're done down 13, you know, well, sell tickets for half a game.
Right. I mean, that you've got to find a way to, you know, no, you don't have to be perfect. Like, yeah, sometimes especially when you're going up against really good pass rushers, and by the way, they're getting ready to see some, maybe not necessarily this week, but, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is right around the corner. Like, they're going to have some problems to deal with here in the next few weeks here. You're going to be in some situations where your drop-back passing game is going to have to be a big part of it. Your offensive line's going to have to hold up. Like, you got to find a way as a coaching staff to do that. And I'll say this, too. Like, I think, yes, the explosive plays have not been there anywhere near where they need to be to be a functional, competent NFL offense. I expected a little bit more out of the quick game from the passing game from the standpoint of getting the ball into somebody's hands and then making a play. How many tackles have a Calvin Ridley or a Hopkins, and I know it's not really part of Hopkins' game, or a Conquo, how many tackles have they forced to be missed this year? How many? When's the last time you saw a Titan player, you know, and I'm not asking you know, Derrick Henry superhero somebody.
Pollard's the only guy that's making people miss. And the running backs in general, and we can get into this. There's a, you know, a lot of these charts come out during the week that plot every team by logo on these charts, right? Yep. You don't want to be in the bottom left quadrant. You desperately want to be in the top right quadrant. And the Titans are often in these, they're in the upper left quadrant or the bottom right quadrant, which means they're very good at one of the elements and very bad at one of the other elements. So this one is yards before contact and after contact per rush. I've tweeted this out. I'll retweet it in a minute. Yards per carry after contact. about 3.75, an outstanding number.
Yep.
Way up in the top left quadrant. Only, you know, New England similar, Washington and Jacksonville are better. But yards before contact, zero. Like maybe a quarter yard, not even a quarter yard.
It's not good.
Absolute last. I mean, the Jets are the only ones under a half yard with them, but they've got maybe 0.75 yards. I mean, it's crazy if you look at this picture. So the Titans were touting, and it only counts as a quarter, as to how well they ran in Miami. But you look at this and you say, boy, Pollard and Spears are really doing some work.
Yep.
And this run blocking that they're touting, that these guys, well, you know, the run blocking will get them going for pass blocking. This suggests that the backs are doing the work, not the offensive line. That these guys are getting touched super early, and they're making things happen after initial contact, which is not what you want to see. You want to be here, Baltimore or Philadelphia, which aren't top right, but they're far to the right, where they're getting yards both before and after contact.
Yep, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. How do the Titans adjust after the bye week? Are some of the problems that we've seen from them fixable as they move forward? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You talked about maybe a willingness and necessity to be adaptable and willing to pivot based on what you learn about your team. Mm-hmm. In the self-scouting you've done based on a quarter of your season, what kind of pivots are you maybe willing or ready or need to make?
There's a couple of things, I think. A lot of it more is just things that I can probably do better. Certain calls and certain spots. It's really more it's a small sample size at this point still. You know, you'd love to have 6-7 games behind it, but – but through four games, there's definitely things that I think we can improve on, some things that I can do better to help our offense. There's a couple of schematic things that you shift around and tweak and maybe try to lean into more. Obviously not going to tell you those things at this moment, but we feel pretty good about what we learned about our team through the first month and what direction we're going to head from here. I feel pretty good about it.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. Titans preparing for the Indianapolis Colts coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Opportunity for them to get to 2-3, potentially get back into the swing of it here in the AFC. We'll see if the Titans can take advantage of that coming up on Sunday. Brian Callahan not willing to go into detail there with some of the things.
No, of course. I do think he's being honest there in his self-evaluation. And I don't think it's I think the personnel is failing him to a degree. But I think he's failing himself to a degree, and he's being candid there. He needs to do a better job of, and he said it earlier on the drop back thing. Part of it is having people in the right spots. Having people in the right spots is saying the play calls aren't good enough, or the play designs aren't good enough. And I think that's a very fair and honest self-critique, and that needs to be part of what's going on here. I think that win was important in terms of continued buy-in. But I think there has to be some doubt there. And if things go badly, particularly if things continue to go badly on offense and they lose and the defense continues to play pretty well, you have to worry a little bit about the defense wondering, like, hey, you know, we're doing our stuff over here and we're not seeing results from the other side and we're losing because of it.
I mean, hopefully the self-scouting included figuring out how to stop somebody from blocking a punt, which almost happened for – the third time against Miami.
Yeah, it's special teams outside of Nick Folk is
disaster.
Quite poor and needs to be significantly better.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Cody. Cody, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Thank you.
What's up?
I think after the bye, he'll come out a little bit better. The good thing about the bye gives him time to reevaluate his game. I do feel like maybe they need to simplify the offense. I feel like the game is probably a little too fast-paced for him. and he's having a hard time adjusting. I think if they just simplify it, slow it down, I think he'll be fine.
Thanks for the call, Cody. I hear that. I also, like, you need your second-year quarterback to be taking some steps where you're not having to simplify things, and you're able to introduce more things, put more things on his plate. Is that realistic for him right now in this offense? And that goes back to protection, too. Like, how realistic is being able to do that? We talk about adjustments the offense can make. Well, if your drop-back passing game doesn't get significantly better where you can't protect the quarterback and you don't have time to let some of these things develop, it's hard to do that in the NFL. But, you know, am I worried right now about, like, them overcomplicating the offense? I don't know that that's my chief concern right now. I mean, my chief concern is, can you protect the quarterback? And when you do, can the quarterback make smarter decisions with the football? I mean, some of this we put on, you know, we're talking about Callahan and adjustments he can make and all that. I think all those things, I think, are valid conversations. But some of this is pretty simple. Like, your quarterback's got to be smarter with the football. And if you do that, then you'll probably like the results a little bit better than what we've seen through the first four games.
I had a conversation. Friday afternoons are a pretty good time to talk to Callahan. We ask maybe five questions with cameras on, and then it's kind of more informal. And I asked him either last week or the week before, because I got a good question from a reader, actually, about, is the sophistication level of the offense slowing these guys down?
Right.
Is the learning curve slowing these guys down? And I asked him about how sophisticated it is. And he said he'd rated it as about average in the league. And so I think that's significant, that he doesn't think it's a particularly hard thing to learn.
Yep.
Not particularly easy, but not particularly hard, right in the middle. So in terms of simplifying it, I don't think that's necessary based on everything. And they say that Levis has it.
Right.
So I don't think it's a matter of it's too much for him. I think it's the decision-making in the action. He's got it going into the game. It's when stuff happens that's off schedule or that's a surprise, when the defensive lineman shows up in the window where he's not supposed to be, how do I react to that? And I go back to, as I was kind of learning this stuff, you know, Floyd Reese talked about quarterbacks, you know, that being the thing. All right, this guy's great when everything unfolds the way it's supposed to unfold.
Yeah.
Now, that happens very rarely. So what does he do when things don't unfold the way they're supposed to unfold? That's what I need to know. And I think that's the story with Will Levis. So far this season, and oftentimes last season, when things don't go the way they're supposed to go, Will Levis, he wasn't making these kind of mistakes last year. So we need to throw out last year, and we need to ask why it's so different than last year. But so far this year, when things don't go like they're supposed to go, which is they need to do better making it go the way it's supposed to go more often, he's failing. He's got a failing grade.
There's no doubt. And the question is, because I'm with you, like, we've talked about this with Levis. I have no doubts about, you know, preparation and his understanding of the offense and everything on paper that you need to handle heading into a game. I have full confidence that he and the staff are handling. But it's different when you get out there. And how does the information that you're processing live, how do you make that translate into more what the expectation is on paper as you're heading out there? And some people can do that, and some people just can't. Like, you know, and it's too early, I think, to make a complete declaration on that one way or the other from Will Levis. But there's no doubt, like, it's got to get better in terms of when you're on the field, the decision-making, whatever's going on. He talked to this earlier this year about rewiring the brain, right? How easy is that to do? Like, how long does that take when you're on the field? That's a difficult thing.
And the rewiring can only happen through experience.
Yes.
So this is another conversation about patience. And it's hard to be patient. And there are only 17 games. But each game is a big chance for the rewiring to happen. Is it happening? You know, we went from two really, really bad plays to two more conventional interceptions that Kurt Warner's explained to us can happen. Then we saw Aaron Rodgers make the same kind of bad play with a defensive lineman dropping into coverage.
Yep.
That's all well and good. You're allowed to see that guy. Kurt Warner's explained to us what he's looking at to make the initial decision. That's fine. And I understand that. And Kurt Warner's a lot smarter than I am on this. But I look at it and I say, well, I understand. He's looking for that guy going to the flat. Common sense says he's also allowed to see the defensive lineman dropping in there and say, okay, that's a problem. I'm not going there.
As I said.
It's very fast.
Yeah.
It's quick processing, but it's what you're asking a quarterback to do.
No doubt about
it. It's the job.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Mike, we've been talking a lot today about the drop-back passing game for the Titans. Obviously, it's not been good, and it's something that's got to get dramatically better in a hurry. How fixable do you think some of these problems are for the Titans in their drop-back passing game, whether it's the protection, whether it's generating explosive plays, which we haven't seen a ton of so far? How much more room on the rope do you think there is for this drop-back passing game?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it can get a lot better. It's largely, to me, protection mixed with a little bit of, obviously the quarterback, not being fully comfortable in the offense yet. And I think it's pretty obvious, when you watch it on tape that he's, still thinking more than feeling the plays, the reads, everything. And I think it's just going to take time and reps, and that's not a satisfactory answer for fans who want results right now. But I just think that's going to require a little bit of patience to get there, and it's going to have to require better protection. And I think you need a little bit more from Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins too. I mean, Hopkins has had the injury and been slowed a little bit there, but they're paying those guys a lot of money for not a lot of production right now. And sure, we can put some of that on the offensive line and the quarterback, but if your receiver's getting open and demanding the ball, then the ball's going to find him at some point. So I think it's a little bit of all of the above, but I do think there's a path where it gets better here after the bye. And I think the bye, frankly, was probably pretty well timed for them to get a little bit of a mental reset. Look at some things that have worked, what hasn't worked, and maybe retool going into what the middle of the year now.
We know these charts just fly out after a weekend's worth of games and data come out. The Titans, I thought, were far too excited about their run performance against Miami. They certainly had run volume with 40 carries. But when you factor in that Pollard had a 41-yard run and ended up with a 4-yard average, and Spears, I think, was 2.9, I hardly thought that they ran the ball great. And then Rich Rebar puts out his graphic, yards per carry after contact, charted against yards per carry before contact, and the Titans are way up, almost touching the line with yards before contact. Just over zero, but very significant yards after contact, which suggests that the offensive line is not doing much run blocking at all, and that Pollard and Spears are doing God's work on their own. What does all of this tell you about the state of the Titans' run game?
And I think that is reflected in the tape. And you look at just that Miami game specifically, Pollard had 112 yards after contact and 88 yards rushing for the game. So, he was on average being touched about a yard in the backfield on every run attempt, which is horrendous from the offensive line. And I do think, just watching it, Pollard and Spears have been fantastic. I think both of them have been excellent, Pollard especially. But they need more help from the offensive line. And you know, we still see things that, again, are reflective of a new offense, a young offensive line, the youngest offensive line in the league, and a relatively inexperienced group. You know, we saw a play on Monday night where, you know, I think it was Radins and Skoronski both pulled and ran right into each other in the backfield. So, I mean, there are clearly some understanding, or I guess, you know, being on the same page, cohesiveness that is lacking with the offensive line at the moment. I think physically they haven't been bad necessarily. It just does not look like a group that is in sync currently. And that's Bill Callahan's responsibility to get them in sync. But, you know, when you have a young group, when you have four new starters out of that group, I think it's going to take some time for them to really get there. But I would say the encouraging thing is physically they're not getting whipped in the run game. It does not look like their timing and sinking of the blocks is quite where you would want it to be. To really be excelling in the run game. And the yards before contact metric has got to get better for them to have real success on the ground, because I agree. That Miami performance, they didn't have a ton of negative plays in the run game, which is positive, but they also weren't highly efficient either. I mean, they pretty much just grounded out. And, again, you're talking about a performance that had the second longest drive of the game was 29 yards. So it was not a stellar showing by the offense by any means, except for the fact that they crossed that magical 30-point barrier.
Your piece is up at paulkuharski.com. Six areas where the Titans need to show more post-bye. One of the things you say, people aren't going to like this because it's actually favorable for Will Levis, but his turnover numbers, 9, that luck has played in there, which is only to suggest that things could become more favorable for him. He really is only 7th in turnover-worthy plays amongst quarterbacks, whereas the quarterback they may face this weekend, Anthony Richardson, 3 percentage points higher in turnover-worthy plays. Talk us through the luck factor in what's going on with him.
Yeah, certainly. I think the data suggests if you look at his 2023 turnover-worthy play rate, which is, you know, looking at PFF charts, the play itself, you know, whether the interception was dropped or, you know, a ball hits the ground, you know, I think if the quarterback fumbles, they generally grade it as a 50-50 proposition as to whether or not it's going to be recovered by the offense, which I think is historically accurate. So right now, Levis is not getting any of the bounces. All of the fumbles that he's had have been recovered by the opposing team. You know, he's throwing the throws that he's put in harm's way have all been caught. Now, some of that is because he's doing these dumb things like trying to roll the ball back to Tajay Spears or flick it to the sidelines and give an easy interception to the defense. That's true. That is part of that. But his turnover-worthy play rate last year was 4.5%. This year it's 4.7%. Is basically the same statistically. And he only had 8 turnovers combined all of last year between interceptions and fumbles. So he'd already outpaced that on, you know, about a third of the number of dropbacks. So it's a part of it is luck. And I do think part of it, you know, with Anthony Richardson, he's due for a little bit of regression to the mean as far as he needs. He's going to see more turnovers if he continues to play the way he's played over the first 5 games for the Colts. So I do think that there's a little bit of luck baked into that. That doesn't excuse the turnovers by any sense. He's still putting the ball in harm's way too much. But I think there's other quarterbacks that rank higher on a turnover-worthy play rate that you'd probably be surprised with. You know, Josh Allen, who a lot of people have as an MVP candidate, is higher than Will Levis currently in turnover-worthy plays. You know, and there's some others. You know, Patrick Mahomes is right in that neighborhood. Look, they get away with it, I think, in a way, because they make really good plays around those turnover-worthy plays. And Levis is not making enough really good plays around his bonehead plays. But that's a separate topic to me than the turnovers, which has been kind of the biggest drumbeat with Levis. And I frankly think a lot of that's going to fix itself just as the season wears on and you get a bigger sample size for the luck to kind of even back out.
Mike, on the other side of the ball, the numbers would tell you it's the number one defense in the league if you want to go strictly by yards per game. Now, they forced one turnover, and that was on a backward pass. So there's a lot of work to be done there in terms of forcing turnovers as they move ahead here. But my question for you is, how big of a believer are you in this Titans defense? Do you think the Titans have an elite or a close-to-elite defensive unit?
I don't think they're elite for just one specific reason, and that is the problem we've talked about with this defense going back to the offseason. It's a lack of pass rush. They do not have a consistent pass rush, and to be an elite defense, I think that's a non-negotiable. Right now, the entire Titans defense, every single player who has played a defensive snap for the Titans this season, has 43 pressures by PFF charting. Aiden Hutchinson has 40 by himself.
Yeah.
So there is a massive gap between guys like Hutchinson, who is, you know, consistently creating pressure, creating havoc in the backfield, and what the Titans are doing collectively as a group. You know, Harold Landry is getting the quarterback down at a good rate when he gets back there. But he's not creating a ton of pressures. He only has 10 on the year. And then Arden Key has mostly been MIA, although I think his past two games have been his best so far. So maybe the light's coming on a little bit there. But, you know, none of the depth guys have shown anything. Jalen Harrell, Caleb Murphy, none of those guys have even a pressure so far this season. So for them to jump into that elite category, you're going to have to find some production. And you got to look at the interior, too, where Jeff Simmons is supposed to be the guy, and he has two pressures this season. That is not what you want out of a guy that's getting paid like he's a Dexter Lawrence, a Chris Jones level guy. He's not produced from a pass rushing standpoint anywhere close to that, and they need him to get there sooner than later if they want to jump into that elite category. But I do think they're very good. I don't want to be totally negative on them. It's obviously been a good unit. They are, you know, ranked in the top 10 if you look at any advanced metrics like EPA per play or DVOA, some of the stuff that bakes in a lot of the context that you need to consider when looking at defensive performance. So, and that's without turnovers, right? But I do think the turnovers are linked to the lack of pressure, because most of the time, if you're forcing turnovers, it's going to be because you're putting pressure on the quarterback. So I think that's the kind of key area that they need to improve if they want to get into that next category.
Both the stats and the eyeball test tell us Levis was better last year than he is this year. Do you think this new system requires him to take some or has resulted in him taking some steps back before he can go forward? Or is there enough evidence to say maybe it's not the best fit to show off his best qualities, that quick release and that deep arm?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I do think they did a lot last year to try to, I don't want this to sound like derogatory towards the Will, but they did a lot to try to dumb down the offense last year for him, make it a 1-2 read, simple, which, you know, helps a young quarterback certainly. And I think this Callahan offense is a little bit more, you know, kind of 201 from terminology and what they're asking him to do as a quarterback standpoint. So I do think there's a little bit of growing pains that you're seeing with him being asked to make full field reads, being asked to make more decisions generally within the offense. And you're seeing him struggle with a little bit of that. But then again, like, they've tried some of those play action shot plays and haven't really had a ton of success hitting those, that are simpler reads, more defined throws within the offense. And there hasn't been a ton of success there either. So it's hard for me to say that, hey, if they just switched back to that approach, we'd see something a lot more like last year. I'm not totally sure that's 100% the case, but I will be interested to see if they lean more into that coming out of the bye, kind of getting back to some of, as much as we may hate to see it after the last six, 7 years, run the ball, play action off of it, kind of offense to at least stabilize things until Levis gets a little bit more comfortable in the true dropback passing game.
He's Mike Herndon. He writes deep analysis at paulkuharsky.com every Tuesday. His latest is up now. Check it out.
Absolutely. Mike, appreciate your time as always, my man. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. Mike Herndon, our guest on Robbie and Rexro. We'll have PK's rant coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry Estes to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into Vanderbilt's upset over Alabama with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You have to restrain yourself. Some of us do it better than others. Some, like your afternoon host, are completely shtick-filled, like doom negative, you know, and he may have had a worse.
He's full of shtick. Is that what you're saying?
He may have had a worse view of this team than others.
He's not going to stop. It works every show.
Where's the discipline?
Yeah.
We need a hard ass in there.
It is that time of the day. Normally the Rex rant or the Rob rant. PK is stepping into the fold today for a nice rant. PK, I'm looking forward to this.
I'll call it a primary complaint.
Okay. I like it.
So, I've come to terms with the fact that a broadcast of a game could be anywhere these days, and I'm a subscriber to virtually everything. But I'm surprised last night when I say baseball into my remote control that the Yankees-Royals game comes up as a TNT broadcast on Max. And I still have trouble with HBO being called Max because I still think Cinemax should hold the rights to Max. It still exists as far as I know. Anyway, you know, I have no problem flipping over there, though I hate going to a streaming thing because from a streaming thing, you can't just conveniently flip over to the football game during commercials. It's a bigger process.
Yep.
I've come to terms with that. You can't just flip over. All right. But, and I hate Comcast with all my heart. I'm leaving Comcast very soon. I just have to find the right internet provider in order to go to YouTube TV.
Yep.
Lots of my friends have YouTube TV. They swear by it. I haven't found friends who swear by their internet provider that I need to replace Comcast. But the production, not the production, I don't know if I'm the only person that has the problem. I tweeted straight to Comcast, so I didn't want, because everybody would just be like, oh, you're complaining about something again. The broadcast was this quirky streaming, like 1990s level stream. Stop, start, sound goes out, picture stalls, completely unenjoyable, like, you know, remember when you went to a hotel room and you had to plug your computer in and you ended up on the phone with the guy trying to file a story?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like that. Now, I'm paying a fortune. I mean, way too much to Comcast. And for this to be an issue for me circa 2024 is just outrageous. To the point where I'm rebooting my modem and I'm unplugging my TV, willingly missing a half inning of the game in order to get it better. And when everything restarts, it's exactly the same. This is just not in the realm of possibility for technology in 2024. Between the price I'm paying, between the technology that's available, between you forcing me to go to a third-party app and MLB doing that. I don't know how you spread this thing all the way to Max.
It is kind of wild.
All right? But I'm willing to have Max. I accept it. But I need Max to work. All right? I'm willing to listen to Bob Costas and Darling on this game. I'm willing for all of this stuff. All I want is for it to work.
Yeah.
I'm willing to absorb a Yankees loss, but I need it to work.
Oh, man.
My wife, you know, is generally, it's a secondary thing for her. She's on her phone reading a book or doing whatever she's doing, and she's like, how are you surviving this? I'm like, I stayed relatively calm because I knew I had no alternatives except to tweet blast Comcast. But this day when I call Comcast, I'm going to make them beg. I'm going to pretend like I'm going
to
stay. Like,
this may need to be recorded.
What's your best offer? No, come on, really. I've been a long time.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say, give me the supervisor. And then I'm going to say, Sally, you have ripped me off for 25 years. I'm out!
I feel like this has to be recorded now. I volunteer. I'll do it. Yeah, I'll be the recorder.
I'll roll tape on that bad boy. I don't know. And, you know, I would have had to watch that game on Max, you know, connected to my streaming anyway, and it was probably a Max problem. So my problem is probably more with Max streaming than it is with – now, maybe it's with my Comcast internet. I don't know. It's hard to find who to blame.
Yeah.
There's so many potential people. If I had time today, I'd spend time tracking them all down.
I'm glad you
could deal
with Costas.
Unfortunately, I need a nap.
Yes, you will. I'm glad you can deal with Costas. He drives me nuts on the play-by-play.
I don't mind Costas. There's an old-schooly feeling to him. What do you dislike about him most?
It's just the tangents that he goes off into that really just drive me nuts. It may just be his voice, too. There's a lot of things that drive me nuts.
Well, the thing that drove me crazy most about Costas is that every time Giancarlo Stanton hit a ball that was potentially a double play, he made it like there was a question as to whether the fourth slowest man in baseball would be thrown out at
thrown
first
out by six
to
steps.
Have a chance at a double play here. No, Bob. Unless they throw the ball into the stands, the moment that ball is off the bat, they're two outs.
There will be a double play, my friend. I promise. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We wish PK good luck in his ongoing
now,
battle.
Now, I have a friend who's texting me. He thinks it was on a normal channel last night. If that's the case, I really have to reconsider my life. He flipped to it on a normal channel last night. Do you have Comcast? Yeah, well, he says TBS maybe. It was a TBS broadcast, but it was on
Max.
Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guide was not giving me a TBS option last night. Trust me. I was hunting.
Just looking for, searching for it. We'll have Gentry Estes for the Tennessean coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Vanderbilt's big upset against Alabama. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.